Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Greg Aumann's been covering the Bucks for over a decade. He is with Fox Sports. You can follow him on X, on Twitter, at Greg, A-U-M-A-N. We've had Greg on the show before. He joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Sunday, 4:25 in Tampa, the Bucks host the Washington Commanders in the season opener for both teams. So I actually wanted to just start off by asking how big Dave Canales was last year for Baker Mayfield, and whether or not there's confidence that his growth and the season he had last year can be duplicated under the new OC, Liam Cohen.
Yeah, I think it's a big question. Baker has had his share of new OCs in his time in the NFL. So him adjusting to a new scheme is nothing new for him. I think Dave Canales, I think him finding a system that worked for Baker and played to his strengths last year was a big part of his rebound, and that's kind of been Dave Canales' thing. It's probably what he did a year earlier in Seattle with Geno Smith. It's certainly what Carolina hopes he can do, with Bryce Young there this year. So, no, I think that was a big part of why things worked. Liam Cohen has spent a little time with Baker. They had 6 weeks together with the Rams in 22. I think that's part of why he got the job. I do think anytime you get a new coordinator, there's going to be uncertainty. But I think they feel really good about Liam Cohen also having an offense that suits Baker Mayfield's strength. Maybe get a little bit more of the run game than they did. The last 2 years, the Bucs have been dead last in the NFL in rushing, in yards and in yards per carry. So that's probably where they want to take the biggest step forward this year, I think.
Was it a popular, opinion in town re-signing Baker Mayfield? Was that a slam dunk? Was that something that every Buccaneer fan wanted?
I think so. I guess the question was how much he would get, and that I think the best part of Baker Mayfield playing as well as he did last year is he did it for $4 million, maybe the best bargain of any non-rookie in the NFL. I guess Brock Purdy's probably got a beat on the whole, but, I think when you find a quarterback like that, you have to guard against overpaying too much. There's that Daniel Jones factor where I think the NFL, because of the economy of quarterbacks in the NFL, sometimes you pay good quarterbacks great quarterback money. So as crazy it is to think about 3 years and $90 million being a bargain, it probably is compared to what most of your kind of second-tier quarterbacks make these days. So, no, I think Baker did a really good job of making this his team last year, and I think most people wanted him back. It was just a matter of how much you're willing to pay. So to get him for $30 million, kind of that rare middle class of NFL quarterbacks, I think most people were happy with that here.
Yeah, it is interesting, right? I mean, because he's right in the middle of the quarterback average annual, essentially, in the league. Like, he's behind Derek Carr and Daniel Jones, but, right. You know, slightly ahead of guys like Geno Smith.
Right.
So it's probably a really good deal for Tampa. Greg, I think one of the things when you think about the Buccaneers from afar, like we are this week, is that they were very successful in keeping not only Mayfield, but the key free agents that could have gone elsewhere. Mike Evans at the top of that list. They're essentially bringing back very much the team they had last year that was tied going into the fourth quarter of a divisional round playoff game at Detroit, right?
Yeah, and I think that was their focus, is kind of getting the band back together. And there are some people, again, that I mean, they've won three straight division titles here, but they're also 17-17 in the last 2 years. So there's definitely some people that are like, was this really a band you needed to keep together? They very much felt like it was. So like you said, Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, Lavonte David, Antoine Winfield, now Tristan Wirfs as well, all locked up. And some of them getting, you know, Winfield and Wirfs got position resetting money. So they've definitely kept, you know, what's left of most of that is their Super Bowl core. Mayfield's obviously come since then.
Right.
But it's the guys that were the leaders on that Super Bowl team and have kind of now extended into the post-Brady world here in Tampa. But no, they very much made it their priority. I mean, you think about their biggest outside additions, there's just not much to speak to. They brought Jordan Whitehead back from the Jets, but he had been a Buck on the Super Bowl team. A lot of real modest contracts are the only outside additions. They're very much a homegrown team. I think it's 44 out of 53 were either drafted by the Bucs or came in as undrafted rookies with the Bucs. So that's a crazy high level of keeping your own, and something they're really proud of here.
They got to the playoffs last year, the last 2 years with Todd Bowles. I'm just curious as to whether or not there's any pressure on Todd Bowles to get this team beyond where they were last year. I've always been a Todd Bowles fan from afar, as a defensive mind, as a defensive guru. You know, he's a former Redskin. He was a Super Bowl champ here. So there's an affinity towards Todd in D.C. But I'm curious, is there any hot seat element to his season this year?
I don't think there's a specific, in terms of like how deep they get in the playoffs, I don't think it's like that. If they only won one game in the playoffs this year, I think they'd still be kind of patting him on the back and saying thanks. I mean, this is a franchise that had never been to the playoffs more than 3 years in a row in their history. Now they've had four in a row. They've had three straight division titles. Again, they're not 14-win teams by any means, but I think for them to be competitive in what is a bad division, I mean, the NFC South, if it's not the AFC South, the NFC South is probably the worst division of football. So you're enjoying a home playoff game when you wouldn't necessarily be winning a ton of divisions. But I think within that context, he's done what they wanted. I mean, I think if you put a banner up, they don't have that many banners here in Tampa. So if you're putting up a banner each year, it's going to be hard to fire that guy. But having said that, I mean, I think they definitely want to do more. As a team, Bowles' big thing to start his first meeting of the year was that they don't want to just make the playoffs. They want to be a team that, you know, contends for a Super Bowl, and that probably is something that most people think is out of reach for them, but it's not above their own goals and their own aspirations for this season.
What's he been like to deal with? I mean, I remember him as a player, super soft-spoken. He's always kind of been that way as a coach, whether it was with the Jets or with the Bucs or as a defensive coordinator. Is he easy to deal with from a media perspective or not?
Yeah, I would say so. It's funny. I mean, Todd followed Bruce Arians here, and Bruce is very much the antithesis of Todd Bowles in that Bruce would speak his mind, amazingly blunt, eminently quotable. You just had to take the expletives out before you got him in the paper, that kind of thing. Where in Todd, again, like you said, Todd is very mild-mannered, very even keel. I think that's part of why they were able to weather the storm last year. They're 4-7. If you got a coach that's blustery and throwing kids under the bus in the media, they might not get out of that tailspin. And I think part of Todd Bowles showing up for work with basically the same attitude and the same mindset, I do see him a little looser this year, which has been neat to see. Yesterday he had a moment where somebody, a TV guy's asking him, you know, how he remains so stoic and keeps his emotions in check on the sidelines. And he totally got the media, and he's like just screaming like, "It's exciting!" really loud. And again, I think there's a sense of humor he has that he doesn't necessarily let us see as often as he does with players and with coaches around him. But it was good to see him loosening up a little bit.
We're talking to Greg Aumann. He covers the Bucks for and the NFL for Fox Sports. So let's talk about Sunday. What are the strengths of the Buccaneers, and what are the areas that, you know, people are concerned about?
Yeah, I'll be curious to see. Again, you look at a new offense, you don't know what they'll lean on initially. I think you're going to see a ton of three receiver sets. Obviously, they have a lot of confidence in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin as two guys that have both gone over 1,000 yards 3 years in a row. Their third-round pick is a rookie from Washington named Jalen McMillan that they really like as an upgrade at wide receiver three. You know, they want a better run game. Their first-round pick went to a center from Duke named Graham Barton, who they really like. They'll be bigger and stronger on the interior offensive line. Now, this is not a fun introduction to the NFL for Graham Barton to go up against Payne and Allen on Sunday. Maybe as good a 1-2 punch of D tackles as you'll run into. So he's getting his welcome to the NFL moment on Sunday afternoon. But I think they'll be a better run team. I don't know if they're a top half of the NFL run team or just maybe a top 20 run team. But that would be a big step forward from really where they've been for 6 or 7 years here. And that balance, I think, kind of helps take some of the pressure off Mayfield. The less he has to throw, the less you worry about interceptions. He did a really good job of keeping those in check. So, no, defensively, on the other side of the ball, I think they really want to be a better turnover team. That's kind of what Todd Bowles' defense is predicated on. Their secondary didn't have nearly enough interceptions last year, so there should be three new faces there. Like I said, Jordan Whitehead steps in as the safety opposite Antoine Winfield. They traded Carlton Davis, a starter going back to their Super Bowl days, to the Lions. So there's a young guy named Zion McCollum they really like that'll step in there. And then their nickel will be a rookie. They have a third-round pick from Georgia named Tyke Smith they really like. And he'll be a huge part of this defense. Honestly, both teams, you know, the center still there. Washington is the guy I thought the Bucks would really like. You'll see two rookie nickels that'll kind of be thrust into big roles from the get-go on Sunday.
So how do you see this matchup? I mean, what's the talk down there? I would assume as it relates to Washington, there's a lot of Jaden Daniels discussion.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a guy. There's a couple of rookies and young guys from the SEC that have faced him. The Bucs' second-round draft pick this year is a kid named Chris Braswell from Alabama. He faced Jaden Daniels 2 years ago. Not only did he get a tackle, he tackled him 38 yards downfield. So I think that speaks well to the sheer speed involved for both of them, that those two could be meeting, you know, half a field downfield. His elusiveness, you know, you think about guys like Anthony Richardson, other guys that have come into the league and presented some real challenges. It's a rookie quarterback. So, you know, I think the number is, I think it's 10 straight first-round quarterbacks that have lost their NFL debut. You know, like you go back, I think Tua was the last guy to win his NFL debut as a first-round pick. So there's that expectation that they should be able to win. But like C.J. Stroud, it wasn't his first game by any means. But C.J. Stroud threw for like 470 yards and four touchdowns last year against the Bucs. So there's also times where completely inexperienced quarterbacks have had their way with his defense. So I think it's, you know, the key to the game is keeping him in check, finding ways to get to him without letting him get open in the field. And that I think if you break contain, if you don't keep him in the pocket, he could have a 100-yard game without really breaking a sweat. So they're very aware of what he can do, not only running the ball, but throwing the ball deep. But like I said, I think as a general rule, if you get a rookie quarterback out of the gates, there should be that expectation, especially at home, that you can win. They'll have the same thing 2 weeks from Sunday. They'll get Bo Nix and Denver in the same stadium. So two of their first three are against rookie quarterbacks. I think if you're a good team, they expect to win those games.
I mean, I have this thought, and I've mentioned it multiple times during the offseason and during the preseason, that Todd Bowles is one of those guys you probably, as a rookie quarterback, don't want to face early on. And there's enough talent defensively. I would assume from a defensive standpoint, there's a lot of confidence in Bowles.
Right. And I think what they like is kind of the mad scientist aspect of things. This is a week where he can present a ton of different looks. He'll put his outside backers inside and his inside backers outside. You're going to see pressure from all over, nickel blitzes and safety blitzes. Antoine Winfield is a really good sack guy, and they use him kind of just the right way where you don't expect it, and he gets a blindside shot. So, again, you have to be careful in that if you gamble with blitzes and Daniels is sharp enough to find the hole that leaves behind, now you've given up some big plays. So I think there's a balance that they got to be careful about. But, yes, I think they feel good about being able to throw a complex, multi-look, misdirectional defense at a rookie with the hopes of not letting him get comfortable on that first day in the NFL.
All right, last one for you. Just how, because you cover the league as well and you cover the Bucks. What do you see from the Bucks this year in terms of the NFC South, and what are your thoughts about Washington in 2024 overall?
Yeah, with the South, you know, it's funny because Vegas has Atlanta as kind of a prohibitive favorite to win. And I think it'll be much closer than that. I think the Bucs and the Falcons are right there. I think Atlanta gets a notch up, having added Justin Simmons, having added Matt Judon, as they did to kind of fix some holes in their defense. But, I mean, if Kirk Cousins is a Kirk Cousins they had, not they had, but Minnesota had, you know, at the start of last season, that's a massive upgrade. I mean, he threw more touchdowns in 10 games last year before he got hurt than the Falcons did as a team all season. So they could be much improved on offense. I don't know if they're as good on defense. I think of this as a down-to-the-wire division. It was decided on a tiebreak last year. Wouldn't surprise me again. I would think it's the Bucks and the Falcons are the two teams in that tiebreak. I think New Orleans is going to take a step back. Carolina, obviously, is still just trying to get back in the picture. If they get to 5 or 6 wins, that's probably a really good step forward for Dave Canales in his first year. Washington, I'm intrigued by, and I don't know what to make of them. I think so much is new in Washington that there's about the difference between 5-12 and 9-8 is just how well things take, you know, and that division, I'm not sold on the Giants at all. I think Dallas and Philly are both playoff teams, but I don't know if either are elite teams this year. So it's something where Washington could sneak in again on the high end. If they're 9-8 in a wild card, it would be a really good step forward for a franchise with so much new in 1 year, and a new coach and new coordinators and a new quarterback. It's hard for that all to take in year one, but I'll be intrigued to see. Obviously, you know, Sunday goes a step toward showing you who they are, and sometimes you have really good teams that don't take until Halloween and don't turn the page and figure out who they are until halfway through their season. But I'm intrigued to see what comes together for Washington.
Give Greg a follow on X, at Greg Aumann. He wrote a story where he got 38 quarterbacks that he polled on a lot of different questions about quarterbacks in the league. You always see these polls from media people, from fans, but it's the quarterbacks themselves essentially weighing in on quarterback questions and quarterbacks around the league. I love that. I thought it was a really good read. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. You guys have a good one. Thanks again. Enjoy the game Sunday.
Yep. Greg Aumann, everybody. We've got our NFC picks coming up at 11 a.m. But up next, I will just share with you kind of the details, if you don't know them, from the story that broke yesterday afternoon involving a Washington Commanders vice president.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Level employee. We'll do that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.